check with the sun, carry a compass to help you along. Your feet are going to be on the ground, your head is there to move you around. So stand in the place where you
church. Good to see you guys, man. I just love Sunday morning. You know, something about when you all show up, this the whole environment changes. You know, the spirit starts moving, and that's what I love about this church. It's just one of those few places that you can come and just get excited about God and connect with each other. So, what do you got, Jack? How you feeling today?
I'm feeling good.
I love
what
that,
about you?
He just, sometimes he says, "Wayne, I don't know. I feel disconnected today." But I think you
feel. I feel pretty good today. I feel connected. What about you guys?
Yeah.
Oh, that was pretty lame. That was so lame. You guys connected? Well, if you're not, don't worry. We're going to get you there, connected to the Lord. And what I want you to do is just stand right now. We're going to just start off with a prayer today, just focusing on God, because I know, did anybody have an interesting week? I'll let you determine what interesting means, okay? So let's just open with prayer. Lord God, I just want to thank you for your, bringing us all here today. And for those who are maybe watching on at church online, we ask for your Holy Spirit to just reach out to them where they are. And God, what an awesome time it was last week for many of us to gather for our picnic and just to recognize that, you know, it's just a glimpse of that great heavenly banquet table that we're going to have when you call us home, and we get to have that every day in heaven and worshiping and glorifying you. And so, God, we know that there was many ups and downs in many people's lives this week. And God, Lord God, we just pray right now that as we're here in this time, that we will just focus on one thing, and that's you and what you have to bring to us, what you have to speak to us. And God, just change our hearts and lives and make this thing called life not just an existence, but one that is of growth and connection to you. And we give you praise for who you are. In Christ's name, amen.
Amen. God is good. And all the time.
God is good.
Amen. Let's praise and worship.
Yeah.
right there is a friend of God.
He's your friend. He'll always be there for you. So even though you might not feel like it today when you're standing out here in the church and you're here to kind of get lifted up, just set yourself into this song because it's all about you.
I am a friend of God.
I am a friend of God.
I am a friend of God.
We have never done a song that way before, ever.
All right. Anybody awake now? We on, Andy? Hello? There we go. You can hear me? Awesome. Great to see you here. What I want to do first is where you are. We're going to get rid of the kids. No, we don't want to get rid of them. We love our kids here. So, hey, one of the things, we actually had a discussion this week, and I want to tell you something. Hey, guys, as you're leaving, you need to know this. You're not the church of tomorrow. You're the church of today. And you guys need to know that. So that's awesome. But we have some announcements we want to make, and they're going to go have more fun than we are anyway because they don't care as much as we do, okay? All right, church picnic. Thank you, thank you, thank you for everybody who participated. Marcia, you've been busy, and your group have been busy. Thank you so much for your leadership and help in that area. Also, can we get this up a little bit? Wednesday, a.m., Bible study. They are doing a ton of stuff. If you have off Wednesday and you want to connect and do a lot of stuff, they are doing awesome. And if you're part of the Wednesday study, just go ahead and lift your hand where you are. They're just having a great time. That group got together during Transformed and has just been transformed themselves. They've been just having an awesome time doing. You can see they have a lot of stuff that they want to do. And if you want to plug into that, by all means, connect with them. Anonymous People is the showing tonight, and I'll touch on that in just a second. And also on the back, if you look on the back, supplies for the rotating shelter. There are two clipboards that are going to be going around. Because there's two, please make sure they get to the middle section or whatever section that doesn't. We don't want them to feel unwelcome. Often they only get to the sides. If it gets to the back, just share that with someone and tells you the different supplies. Before we know it, February 23rd will be here, right? And so we want to make sure we help with that as well. All right, what I want you to do right now, just stand up and say hey to the people around you, and then we'll continue on with the service some more. Seated. We have a few announcements we want to mention today. A few announcements, and here they are. First one, you can tell in this section, and also maybe in the nursery, those of you who took kids to nursery, Rachel Boyd is actually in the hospital with pneumonia. So I talked to her yesterday. She sounds great, but she is in the hospital, so we want to lift her up in prayers. Joanna's lifted up prayers for Tina Severance, just diagnosed with a metastatic lung cancer. She's starting treatments, prayers for healing. Robin Hildebrand is asking for prayers for Don Smith for lung issues. Jennifer Lugullo is praised for exciting things happening in Benjamin's life. This past week, he was nominated for homecoming court and is accepted to Valley Forge Christian College. So where's Benjamin? There's Benjamin. Oh, and Chris is thankful to Becky. She did the baking for the snack table while she was away. So, and everybody enjoyed it, right? Everybody, I never see any. I think that's why people come in later, because they're always eating, but that's good. Also keep the family of Dan Bolt and Mary Way Bolt in your prayers as they had his celebration of life. Dr. Bolt is one of the main people at Cecil College, and their teenage daughter found him. So please pray for the whole family during this trying time. All right? But most of all, we're glad you're here. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to you right now. We know that we have so many needs and concerns and issues that occur in our lives. But most of all, God, we know that you're in charge. We know that you love us. We know that even in those times where we may fail, that you never do. And so, Lord, during this time together, we just ask that your presence be more mighty in this place than ever has been before. For people who are dealing with sickness, God, I just pray that you'll just touch them right now. Heal their bodies. Heal their minds. Heal their emotions. Bring strength to those areas of weakness. And God, for those who are dealing with loss, dealing with diagnosis that they weren't sure they'd ever hear, give them strength. Help them to trust in you. Help them to recognize, as we're talking about these last couple weeks, that our battle is not against flesh and blood, but it's against angels and principalities. And so when we've put on the full armor of God and we've done everything else, you tell us to just stand. And so God, during this time and in each of our lives, for joys, we give you praise and celebration. We ask that you cause us to stand. Stand not under our own power or our own strength, but under a commitment to you, under trust in you. As today, God, we journey to the part of Daniel's life that took him to the lion's den. I recognize there are many people who are dealing with their own lions. So God, just if it's just this amount of time during this service, just make yourself so real to them in their lives. Lord God, there are so many issues, so many concerns, so many frustrations. And as tonight we go ahead and we embark on sharing this video that's real about anonymous people and about people coming through addiction and all the struggles and the evil that Satan does through that, may you help us and strengthen us as a church to reach out and be your hands in this community. And God, we only do that through the faithfulness of those who are here and those watching online as they give a portion of what you've given, just a small portion. God, will you receive their tithe and your tithe and their offerings in order to further your kingdom here and around the world? Because God, we can do nothing apart from you. As you did so long ago, multiply them and use them, not for our glory, but for all for yours. We love you, Lord. And we recognize that when all else fails, you are still God. And you make a way. Amen.
There's a peace I've come to know. Though my heart and flesh may fail, there's an anchor for my soul. I can say it is well. Jesus has overcome, and the grave is overwhelmed. The victory is won. He is risen from the dead, and I will rise when he calls my name. No more sorrow, no more pain. I will rise on eagle's wings before my God, fall on my knees and rise. I will rise.
There's a day that's drawing. His darkness breaks to light, and the shadows disappear, and my faith shall be thy eye.
Why is that? Praise him.
Jesus has overcome, and the grave is overwhelmed. Victory is
Today's readings from the book of Daniel. The first part being verses 1 through 5. It pleased Darius to appoint 120 satraps to rule throughout the kingdom, with three administrators over them, one of whom was Daniel. The satraps were made accountable to them so that the king might not suffer loss. Now Daniel so distinguished himself among the administrators and the satraps by his exceptional qualities that the king planned to set him over the whole kingdom. At this, the administrators and the satraps tried to find grounds for charges against Daniel in his conduct of government affairs, but they were unable to do so. They could find no corruption in him because he was trustworthy and neither corrupt nor negligent. Finally, these men said, "We will never find any basis for charges against this man Daniel unless it has something to do with the law of his God." Verse 10. Now when Daniel learned that the decree had been published, he went home to his upstairs room where the windows opened toward Jerusalem. Three times a day he got down on his knees and prayed, giving thanks to God just as he had done before. Verses 22 and 23. "My God sent his angel and he shut the mouths of the lions. They have not hurt me because I was found innocent in his sight. Nor have I ever done any wrong before you, your majesty." The king was overjoyed and gave orders to lift Daniel out of the den. And when Daniel was lifted from the den, no wound was found on him because he had trusted in his God.
How you doing? Good. I have always loved that song, I Will Rise. I can barely get through it most of the time. Isn't it awesome to know that no matter what we are going through in life, that this is just temporary? Hey, your bill problems, they're temporary. Amen? Your relationship problems, only temporary. Okay. Health problems? All kinds of problems, I guess. Amen. Hey, there we go. One person has lots of problems. There we go. We got them all. You must be hanging out with me. So, all right, well, welcome. We are glad that you're here at Haven Community Church. If you're visiting with us, hopefully you received a card with a smiling face, and we'd like you to go ahead and fill that out. And if you didn't drop it in the offering plate, just go out here, and we have a small gift for you. Thank you for being here, and we're just excited about that. We are in week three of a series called Stand. And that's why you got to hear R.E.M., which I was telling a couple people that that song, Stand, you know, it's one of those songs, and if you're as old as I am, you remember the video, Stand in the place where you live, right? Remember that? That's how old you are. I can tell that right now. But he said that song was written about absolutely nothing, and, you know, I need to start jotting down my thoughts, I guess, about absolutely nothing. But anyway, one other announcement, one thing I want to do. What we'll do is after service, if you want to kind of sit for about 2 minutes, we have a trailer for Anonymous People that will show, the Anonymous People that we're going to show tonight. Again, it's probably not suitable for young children. There is some language. It is real, but it is, you know, guess what? This is a real problem. So, you know what I mean? So I said, as the Church Universal has tended to do for years, we tend to not like things real. When we come in, we've had the worst week from hell, and we come in, "How are you?" "Oh, I'm blessed." And you're like, well, if that's your idea of blessing, you know, who wants your cursing? But anyway, so if you want to check that out, we'll go ahead and show that brief for about 2-3 minutes. I think it's about 3 minutes after church. You can stay right here, and we'll show that briefly to give you a little clip of what's going on. You'll notice some of the people in that as well. But The other thing I want to announce is Vaughn Potts. Many of us know Vaughn. Vaughn has had some hospitalization that resulted in an amputation of his leg. He's in good spirits, if you know Vaughn. But one of the things is his daughter-in-law contacted me. His sons are getting lumber and stuff together. And if anyone is interested in going ahead and helping build a wheelchair ramp for their house, which is over like Rising Sun Port area, if you're interested in that, please go ahead and let me know or let Jim know and others. And we can grab some guys together. And if there's some ladies who are awesome at that too, let's go ahead and do that for him since he is part of our church, okay? So just let us know. All right, awesome. So today, we are in week three of our Stand series. The first week, we talked about standing out. We talked about how God calls us to stand out and be different. And last week, we talked about standing up and standing up for what is right. Today, I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to talk about standing strong. And this is one of my favorite, I say this every week, don't I? One of my favorite accounts in the scripture, probably from when I was a young kid, Daniel in the lion's den. Now, my big challenge is this. You see this picture here, this kind of gives you a big challenge. Because one of the things about this story is we kidify it. You know, because how many of you attended church when you were young kids and you heard this? You heard this story. Anybody? Let me see how many of you have ever heard this song, and I really weirded Wayne out this week by doing it. Daniel, 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 Daniel in the la 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 la. Daniel, 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 Daniel in the la 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 la. Daniel, 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 Daniel in the la 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 la. Daniel in the lions, Daniel in the lions, Dan. Who did? No, I'm not going to go into that. Yeah. How many of you ever sang that song? How many of you did not like that song? How many of you still remember that song? There you go. All right. Now you wonder why the young people don't want to come to church anymore. Okay. But that sticks in my head. I had to sing that, and every time I hear Daniel in the Lion's Den, this ridiculous song comes to my head. So I guess it did work out a little bit. Wayne said no for praise team, so we aren't going to do that today, so you can thank him. But we have this kids' version, and what we have Daniel as being the strapping young man who kind of gets dropped down or dropped in with the lions in their den, and the stone is put over the hole, and Daniel kicks back like he is here, scratching one like it's a kitten. And the lions are all like, just chill on us, Daniel, for a while. It'll be cool. And he's like, okay, yeah. But that's wrong. Just to tell you, it's wrong. Daniel, at this point, when we first met Daniel, he was about 14 years old, remember? And then he ended up in his 40s or 50s last week. Guess what? He's in his 80s now. When this happens, he's 80 years old. And they are not kittens, and they're lions. Now, I got to tell you, when it comes to large animals, I'm kind of a wimp. Who am I talking about? I'm kind of a wimp in a lot of areas. But, like, for instance, I was sharing last year, some of you may remember, I think it was a year ago this year, I was doing something with my well, and it took longer than I thought, and I was out in the middle of the night, because I think we were actually working on the church here, and I went home, and we were outside, and I was working on this with, like, one of those shop lights out there, and in the middle of the night, I heard this, wow, in the woods, and I went, phew. And I'm looking around. You know, every horror movie I've ever seen came to me at that point. Or there's some creature in the woods that wants to eat me. And I'm like, I begin to get this fear. Has anybody been outside? Doesn't matter how big you are, how strong you are, but you hear this. And you're going through your mind, that is not a squirrel. Bunnies don't make that sound. And you're going through this whole thing and you realize, oh, I think I better, you know, get inside. So much so that I left every ounce of my tools down there except for something that I could use as a weapon. And I'm walking back. I think I got a hammer, a light, and everything. And then I just run. Like, if it is an animal, like, I'm going to outrun it. But, you know, I can never imagine having to deal with, you know, like, remember Steve Irwin? Anybody remember Steve Irwin? Who remembers Steve Irwin? Okay. Crocodile hunter. And what a shame he died early in life. But some of the stuff he did, I figured he needed a mental check. He would be like, here's a spitting scorpion. And he's like, oh, it would have gotten me if I didn't have these sunglasses on. I'm like, dude, You know, and he's like, here I am, I'm going to stick my hand in this lion's mouth, isn't it awesome? And I'm like, no, it's stupid, you know. And so I have a reverence for these animals. Like, I'm real brave when I walk up to the glass at a zoo. I'm like, hi, lion, you know, like this. But if that glass cracked, you would see me run and climb and mess myself like nobody. And so when we look at this, it's not these nice little, you know, even look at that one lion. He's rubbing his head. He's smiling. Isn't that nice? Little lion. Can you imagine? You're 80 years old, and you're dropped in with hungry lions. Not really the most joyous experience in life. So what I want to do, we are going to be in Daniel chapter 6, and I'm really prepared because I got two Bibles up here, one that's electronic and one that's regular. And so I'm really ready to go with this today. But what we see is, I want to give you some context, some historical context. Daniel chapter 6. Now, we started this thing. We had Daniel, who is, here's Daniel, who is the his first king that he's serving. Anybody know who it was? Remember? Starts with an N. Nebuchadnezzar. And now we end up to a point in the midst there between the last story we had and this one. Daniel has another king that's there in between. His name is Belteshazzar. Belteshazzar. So he has that one. Now he's on the third king, which is King Darius. Okay, so here we have King Darius. And King Darius was known as a great administrator. He would have been a great guy. He would have been a great industrial organizational psychologist that comes in and figures out what's going on in your world and how your company could be better. He was excellent at that. What history tells us is he came in, when he first came into the kingdom, he reorganized the whole kingdom. And by reorganizing it, what he did, he took 120 satraps. Now, how many know what a satrap is? Okay, huh? Okay, yeah, it's kind of like a senator. Here's what it is. It's a provincial leader, a ruler, and they were a governor or in charge of these areas. Over them, he picked three administrators who were in charge of the 120. So what he's doing is he's organizing everything and making it more efficient. And one of the three administrators was a guy named Daniel. So Daniel has really risen to power in this area. Their job was to do this. Their job was to protect against any rebellion. If there was any rebellion, they called the forces, boom, squashed it. Number two, they were the ones who we all are going to love this, to administer taxation. Number three, they were to guard the finances of the kingdom. They also came up with a budget for their area. They were the people at the end of the year who drove you absolutely crazy about getting your budgets in and making sure they were good and together. And so they were the ones who balanced the budget. And boy, could our world need some of those right now, I guess. So here we are. We end up having having these guys who are here. They're in control. And let's look at Daniel chapter 6, verses 1 through 3. This brings us back to where we are. So it says, it pleased Darius, King Darius, to appoint 120 satraps throughout the whole to rule throughout the kingdom with three administrators over them, one of them who was Daniel. The satraps were made accountable to them so that the king might not suffer loss. Now Daniel was so distinguished himself among the administrators and the satraps by his exceptional qualities that the king planned to set him to what? Over the whole kingdom. Not only is Daniel one of the top three. Remember week one we talked about standing out and then we talked about standing up. Daniel is doing that in his life. He's standing out. He's standing up. He's 80 years old when many of us would be enjoying wearing like black socks and you know, little flip-flops on the beach in Miami. He is still working. He's still standing out above everybody. And here's what he does. So Daniel, to the king, looks like the best of the best. Everything is great for Daniel. It is promotion day. What happens here? Daniel's getting a promotion. He is second only to King Darius in the whole kingdom. Not too bad for a Jewish boy who was made captive back when Nebuchadnezzar took over Jerusalem, right? He's grown in those 60 plus 70 years of life to favor. Everything he does, God seems to bless him at. But there's a problem that exists here. The problem is the other two administrators are not happy. Let me ask you, have you ever been in a situation where you and some friends may be up for a similar position, or you may be in sales and you're both going out for something and everybody says, well, we hope if I don't get it, I hope you get it. And if you don't get it, I hope you get it. And they get it or you get it and they don't like it. Okay, there we go. So we and or they get it. You can't stand that they got it because you should have gotten it. And these feelings are going on through here. So even though it should be a great day, it is a day of great jealousy and conflict. And so one of the things I want to share with you, even though they go after him, in this account, Daniel stands up very strong in his faith. And that's what we're going to spend the rest of the day dealing with. Three truths that are going to help you stand strong. Number one, when God raises you up, expect others to tear you down. When God raises you up, expect others to tear you down. Sadly, this is very real in our lives. Whether it's a promotion you're happy about, you find out that many people who you thought would be the happiest are also the most upset. Maybe you're a new Christian, and you became a new Christian and decide you really want to follow God, and when you're in the midst of that, you find out some of the people you thought would be happiest or not. Or maybe you're doing what God calls you to do. Probably one of the greatest criticisms from other Christians I had in my life was when I decided to start this church because God called me to. I can remember one time when Melissa and I had found out, and it was past the, quote, the safe point, if there is really that, when we were when she was pregnant. I'm not going to say we because I wasn't pregnant. She was. When Melissa was pregnant with Jacob. And I remember we got some of our really close friends together and we went and ate at a restaurant and we were going to tell them. And we went to tell them. And one person who I thought would be the happiest for me was actually the most upset because they had gotten married before us and they wanted to have a kid before us. They had others, so it didn't matter. I mean, you can have him now if you want. I don't care. You know, it's like that kind of stuff. But what is that? Has anybody ever had those situations in life where someone who you think is going to be happy for you really is not, gives you the opposite reaction? Well, this is what happens. You know, I kind of compare it, and you guys who are Marylanders will understand this. Like crabs in a pot. You ever see when you throw crabs in a pot, or that there's that one that uses that it starts to climb out, and what do the other ones do? Oh no, not without me, and start to pull you back down. And then another one will climb up, and no, actually like that. Ah. And they grab hold and they pull down. No, if we're miserable and we're going to be cooked up, you're joining the rest of us here. And I think there's a lot of people who have that. Now, if we look at Daniel chapter 6, verses 4 through 5, we find out that at this, the administrators and the satraps were trying to find grounds for charges against Daniel in his conduct of government affairs. But they were unable to do so. They could find no corruption in him because he was trustworthy and neither corrupt or negligent. What we find is that they could not find anything wrong with Daniel. Now, I dare say at the age of 43, if you dug just a little bit, you'd probably find something on me. What if I started digging on you? Would anybody find anything? What about at the age of 80, you would have a laundry list, a whole file cabinet probably of stuff on me. With Daniel, they couldn't find one thing about him. He was impeccable in all his conduct in every single area. He was trustworthy, and there was no dirtiness in any kind of part unless they said, the only thing they said, we will never find any basis in verse 5 for any charge against this man, Daniel, unless it has something to do with the law of God. So here we go. I got to share what I think is one of the biggest problems in Christianity today and been one of the problems in organized Christianity for a long time. Many people believe that if we follow Jesus, all our problems should go away. We say, you know, I follow Jesus, therefore I shouldn't have any suffering, I shouldn't have any pain, and have no challenges. Nobody will disagree with me. Everybody will love me. It's just me and Jesus skipping through the daisies all the days of our lives. And when I'm not singing Jesus Loves Me, I'm singing the B-I-B-L-E, or I'm singing that Daniel song, and it's all just happy, and I'm skipping. But that's not true. It's not true because, as we'll look at a little bit later, the verse from Ephesians chapter 6 says, for our weapons are not against flesh and blood, but against angels and principalities and powers of this dark world. So what we need to recognize is when we often step out for God and we are making a difference for the Lord, if we are furthering the kingdom, guess what? You're going to be targeted by the enemy. You're going to have this attack. Satan is not happy when we move in an area to advance God's kingdom. And I will tell you something very interesting. Satan doesn't always just use his supernatural power. Most of the time, he will use flesh and blood people to make you miserable. Amen? All right. Sometimes he will use people who mean well, but end up being a tool used by him. I'll give you a classic example. Peter did not like what was going on and the things Jesus said. He said, nope, not going to happen. And Jesus said, get behind me, Satan. Here's somebody who loved him, who didn't want to see him suffer, didn't want to see him die, but God's plan was above what Peter wanted to see, and therefore he said, get behind me, Satan, because he knew if he appealed to the emotion that it could have an effect on him, and he said, no, God's plan is above my own. That's a good person trying to do a good thing that's different from God's plan that Satan utilizes. There are plenty in our lives who I think are putty in the hands of Satan. And that goes back to some of the stuff that we talked about last week when we think in the church that we are right and everybody else is wrong. That's a classic example of how things that happen. And here's one thing I want to share with you. If you want to be used by God, get ready for opposition. If you have no opposition, I would dare say you're probably not being used fully to the capacity that God needs you in his kingdom. If I am in the midst of struggle and tragedy and problems, guess what? I'm going to say, hallelujah. I don't like it. I don't like it at all. But I will dare say with you, Satan doesn't need to mess with me if I'm helping his kingdom by not doing anything. But if I'm serving God's kingdom, then guess what? I'm going to get ready for an attack from the enemy. That's just how it goes. I know in several cases, I'll tell you, when we go into areas to help the poor, when we get into the areas of helping those who are on drug addiction, when we get into areas of helping people who are hungry, when we get into areas of helping people, dare I say, become believers in Jesus Christ, get ready, because they're going to attack you. Here's the cool thing, though. Jesus says, under my spirit, no weapon formed against you will prosper. It may make life a little bit difficult. It may make it a little bit like, why does everybody not like me? You know what? Jesus said, they're not going to like you because they didn't like me. So guess what? If you have an account where people are not liking you because of your faith, hey, you're closer to Jesus than you ever thought. And that's a good thing. That's a good thing. If people are not liking your stance for Christ, then maybe we need to check our stance for Christ. You know, I think many people in Christianity in the United States have this Janet Jackson, I'm going to take you back a little bit, a Janet Jackson kind of feeling. What have you done for me lately? Ooh, 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 ooh. Right? Janet Jackson sang a song. Just look it up. It's bad. But that's how we have this feel. God, what have you done for me lately? When my life's in ruins and when it's down and you come to me and you heal me and you make me strong and you get me solid and I start social networking about how I love Jesus and how the study is doing great. And then when my life goes a little bit better or the way I want it to, then I say, psh, see you, God, I've got this thing good. And then guess what? If I had a dime for this merry-go-round and this Ferris wheel of people who exist as Christians, but somehow it goes up and it goes down and it goes up and it goes down and it goes up and it goes down. And sometimes they just jump off when it's down. Or sometimes even worse, they jump off when it's up. I think most people jump off when it's up because when it's down, you got to get back to the top. Rather than having a level pace of a relationship with Christ. That's what Daniel was doing. Daniel had a consistent relationship with God. And as I look at his life, it wasn't easy. He was taken from his home and everything that he had and all promise. And here he was a captive, thrown into this other area. He was threatened if he didn't eat the food, worship the idols, he'd be killed. Guess what? He stood strong and stood up for God and stood out. Last week we talked about him standing up, even though it meant that he could be killed once again for interpreting a dream. That was what God wanted him to interpret. This week, guess what? He's 80 years old. He should be past this. Guess what? He's not, because he's consistently doing that. Daniel is standing up, out, and standing strong for what is right in God's eyes. So what happens here? In the midst of the scripture that you haven't read, the administrators say, okay, let's concoct this plan. Let's go to King Darius and let's build him up. They might have said, King, have you been lifting some weights? Man, look at those guns, King. Woo, you look good. Oh, King, did you get a haircut? You've lost some weight, right, King? Oh, my gosh, you are almost godly. Guess what? King, you are so awesome. Let's do something. I've got something. No, no, no. No, no. King says, yeah, go ahead, go ahead, go ahead. No, no. Tell me. King, here's what I'm going to say. You are so awesome. And, man, you're looking good. You doing that Buns of Steel video, King? That looks pretty good. So here we go, King. So here's what I want you to do. I think this would be awesome. Since you look divine and you've got so much power, why don't we say just for the next month, next month, everybody has to worship only you. Only you. And he says, that might be good. How would you like to have a, how would you like if I said, hey, for the next, somebody came up and said, for the next month, we're going to make sure everybody worships you. So when they see you and you walk into Walmart, people just bow down. You go to stand in line, they go, like this. You go, oh. You say, here you go, we'll pay for you. And you're like, oh, this is awesome. Bow down, oh, this is great. All the way, wherever you go, that would be good. You're riding down the road, and they just part the seas and let you through, and someone carries you through, all kinds of things. That goes to the ego, doesn't it? That feels good. And kings had big egos. They had nobody to answer to. So he says, yeah, let's do that. And they said, wait, let's add this other thing. Let's say anybody who doesn't deserves to be punished. And how they will be punished is, let's throw them into the lion's den. He says, hey, of course, everybody, look at me. Look at these hamstrings. Of course, yes, they're going to do that. So that's what they decide to do. And as they decide to do that, 30 days, they end up being a lion lunchable, if not. Now, in planning this, God just leapt something out at the page to me. He said, Jack, what if somebody passed that law today? If somebody passed that law today, what would happen? And as I began to look at this, I recognized Daniel had three options, and so would I. And these are some three options I want to talk to you about. His first thing that he could do was to conform. Stop praying. I'm going to stop praying. It's going to stop. Okay, it's only a month. He could justify it, say, you know what? I'm 80 years old. I've been real faithful. I've been through some stuff. God, just give me a mulligan for a month, and then we'll be good. So he could have stopped. Now, the second one is one that probably I would have done. He could conceal, where you're kind of sitting there, and you're going, where you're like, you know, like you act like you got narcolepsy at the dinner table. Are you praying? No, I was asleep. I have the narcolepsy. I just, or you just kind of go, Yes, Lord, thank you, Jesus. Are you praying? No, not praying. Jack's not praying. Just kind of mumbling under my breath. Nope, it's all good. Figure how many more days, couple more weeks, I can get through this. Okay, we could have that. Or he could have done the other thing, and that is to continue praying and risk death. And what I find amazing here is that this decree was written. And we find something really incredible. How did Daniel have such incredible faith? How did he have that? How did Daniel just face, knowing what the consequences were? He lived an awesome life. I could justify and say, man, you know, just give me this one. I don't want to deal with lions. And that brings us to number two in your bulletin. To have the strength to stand, you must get used to kneeling in prayer. To have the strength to stand, you must get used to kneeling in prayer. Daniel in chapter 6, verse 10 says something extremely important. I have it in your bulletin right here. It says, now when Daniel learned that the decree had been published, he went home to his upstairs room where the windows opened toward Jerusalem. Three times a day he got down on his knees and prayed, giving thanks to God. How? Just what? Just as he had always done before. This claim did not change him one bit. I think in my life, of all the missed opportunities that God has placed me in, but because of something that's going on, because of some attack, because of some emotional thing that's going on in my life, I've missed opportunities to be faithful to God. Anybody in that boat with me? Daniel, recognizing he could have done all those three things that we said, he could have quit, he could have gone ahead and prayed silently, did exactly what he had been doing before, went home, threw open the windows, and prayed. Anybody heard Hebrew prayer? It's loud. It's not quiet. It's visible. And that's exactly what Daniel did three times. Not one time. He didn't look around and say, nobody's there. Okay, pray. Got that one done. He just did what he always did. Why? Because of his connection and his faith in God. Those connections are extremely, extremely important as we look at this. Three times a day. One of the things that I find out is this, Daniel says, it says when he heard that this decree had passed, he went home right away. Now, I find this interesting because in our lives, many times in our culture, prayer is the last thing that we do. And our language even tells us this. We've done so much. We have a problem. We try to fix everything. And then we get to the problem. We go, well, the only thing left to do is pray. Well, I don't know what to do. How about we just pray? Well, you know what? The world's falling in around me. I tried to call anybody to help. Nobody's here. Guess we better pray. When for Daniel, it wasn't the last thing. It was the what? First thing. He ran home and prayed and spoke to the God of the universe. I'm sure God is sitting up there or around us waiting. Oh my gosh, you mean that didn't work out? Oh, now it's just up to me? Oh my. Oh my. You mean you're talking to me? I've got to do something? Oh, help me. Help myself. Oh me. Oh my. God wants us to come to him first of all. That's what made the difference. It wasn't anything Daniel could have done. Daniel could have railed against everybody. He could have fought against everybody. He could have said, he could have done it quietly. What he did was not change who he was in God. Not one bit. Our first response should be to pray, not to panic. Think about it. When we get a chance to pray, we get to talk to the God of the universe. The God of the universe. And I would dare say if I took an informal poll in this room, this is one of the things that most people are afraid of. If I said, hey, would somebody lead us in prayer or finish this all sermon in prayer today? People be like, not me. Because we've allowed the enemy, Satan, call him whatever you want, to take prayer, which is our strength and our connection to the God of the universe, the creator of the universe, the one who holds the world in his hands, the one who is the beginning and the end, the Alpha and the Omega. It is him who has control of everything, and he has given me the option to, through speaking to him, to call him daddy, to go into his throne room and say, I need you. And I know, even when I'm the busiest person in the world, sometimes I can have a billion different things. If my kids are hurting and they come in wherever I am stopping what I'm doing right away. I missed a meeting the other week because Rachel had one of those headaches again. And I wanted to get home and check on my daughter. Guess what? The meeting's still there. My daughter is one who is special to me, who I love, who I care deeply about. And so all the other stuff is stuff. And so if you think that God's got to go, oh, will the universe go on if I don't hear from you? No, he says, speak to me, and I want to take care of it. I want to love you. I want to hear that first. I don't want you to come and do me after you messed everything up and I've got to clean a lot more up. I want you to come and do me right off the bat. I want you to come and do me and say, hey, I need you, Daddy. Think about how awesome that is. There are so many of us, even in this room, that are walking around every day in defeatist mentalities. We're tired of our jobs. We're tired of our relationships. We're tired of people. We're tired of ourselves. We look in the mirror. We hate ourselves. And I know there's some people here who are like that. You fix up right good, but when you really look at the mirror, you and God know what's going on. And when you look at that self in the mirror, you need to look at yourself not as you see yourself or as people told you you are, but you need to see yourself as a child of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. One who says, come into my house. Whatever, don't worry. The universe is still going to go. I'm pretty good. I can hold that, and I can still love on you and take care of your problem. That's what's important in life. You are to God. And Daniel knew exactly that. He knew when he had this issue, he needed to go talk to his daddy. You know, there are several times still at 43 years old that when I have an issue or I have a concern, I have a hurt, I pick up the phone and talk to my daddy. Because there's something about talking to your daddy in that case that just makes it better. And when I talk to him, he gives me advice and comfort. So why don't I go ahead and, as Joyce Meyer said, don't go to the phone, go to the throne. Go to the throne room of God and do that. Daniel did not also announce his prayer. Oh, thou great God, all these other infidels, I will face thy lions. Take me, O God. He just kept doing what he was doing. It wasn't about show. It wasn't about anything but just connecting to his father. He did it reverently in his area. Why? Because what I believe, and we talked about this in week one, Daniel had pre-decided what his actions were going to be in life. For him, prayer was a non-negotiable. He was going to talk to his father every day three times. We started that first week when we talked about food from idols. He wasn't going to deal with that. I'm going to say to you something, and I hope you hear this properly. If we haven't pre-decided to get to know God, then we're not going to get to know God. There will be something that will come into your life that will take your time with God. There will be something that takes your time if you allow it. No plan, then plan to fail. No plan to grow in intimacy with God, then you will have no intimacy with God. For some of you, you may need to do this. You may need to get up a little bit earlier. Go ahead, groan with that one. That's always not a fun one. And you may need to just start with God. To just say, Lord, Dad, Heavenly Father, Jesus, Holy Spirit, you know what I'm facing today. I don't even know. I know some of the stuff I'm facing. It's not very fun. But here's what I want you to do. I want you to control this day. I want you to guide this day. I want you to lead people into my path that I can talk to about you. I want you to send people in my way who are hurting that need to hear about Jesus. I want you to go ahead and use me, and I want you to keep my heart straight. I want you to keep my mind straight. I want you to keep me focused on you, and I want all those other things, because I know I'm going to get beat on doing this. I want you to just use me in a way you never have before. I want you to place people in my path that need to know you, and I want you to use me for that. I guarantee if you begin to pray that little prayer every morning or something like that, I guarantee God will do exactly that. For some of us, that's pretty scary. I think some of it needs to say is, God, you know I hate my job, but God, you placed me there for a reason. What is it? God, I know you know that my relationship is broken, and you know that we're talking about ending this thing, but God, I just believe that you can heal it, and I'm going to trust you in that. I'm not going to use my own nature. I'm going to trust you. Begin with God. So how did Daniel pray? What does it say he did? He went home and did what? He knelt down. I really believe that posture is something that's extremely important. For instance, if I'm sitting in the midst of class or a sermon or something, I'm listening to somebody, I'm like this. What's that show you? Not paying attention, don't care. If I kind of give one of these prayers to God, oh, hey, God, I got to tell you something. Bye. Okay. I'm telling God, hey, I just want to, it's like giving God a text message. I want you to hear from me, but I don't want to hear from you. And whatever you have, I'll answer it later. I can ignore it. Anybody ever ignore text messages? Right. Not for me, right? So we have that case. But Daniel got on his knees and began to pray. Kneeling, when we kneel, it does something pretty amazing. When we kneel, we get down. It's a little bit harder to get down here than when I was younger. Am I right? Amen. But when you kneel before somebody like this, I watched enough pro wrestling over the years to know this was like, I give up. You're in charge. Anybody ever do that? When Jill was little, I used to wrestle with her, and I used to twist her arm and say, give me the give up single and make her go like this. And you know what? Some of us need to get on our knees and start giving the give up single to God. Say, I give up. I give up. I give up, God. Take this. Sometimes I've got an issue in my life that knees don't satisfy. Sometimes I've got to do like that old hymn, I'll hail the power of Jesus' name. Let angels what? Prostrate, not prostate. We all think that, right? Every kid giggles, and so do the adults too when we get to that point. But sometimes you just got to get down on your face. You know, you want to weird some people out? Get used to praying to God like this. Right? I heard it. I heard somebody say it. What'd they say? Muslims do it. Right? Guess what? If you don't, you know, sometimes I got to tell you, my life feels like I'm kissing the dirt. I need some carpet in my nose. Because it's my everything around me is just crazy. And sometimes I just got to recognize that really, if it wasn't for the grace of God, I'd be dirt. But he thinks more of me. And I just want to get down before and say, God, all this other stuff in the world, I just need you. And I need all of me out of the way. Because if you're like me, I'm like a cat with a laser pointer. That in my life, if something happens and I'm in the midst of prayer, my mind goes like this. And God wants us to be focused on him. Now, I'm not saying everybody has to do that, but what I'm saying is I think our posture and our attitude go together. And I think we need to get still before God and just really share with him and hear what he has to say. When life knocks you down, when you get on your knees and pray, that's when you can stand. You stand by having sore knees from praying to God. Sometimes just drop and say, boom. I knew a guy who was a pastor, and he was an interesting guy. You would be walking anywhere. He would see you in the grocery store. And if you said, hey, Jim, how you doing? He'd say, I'm doing good. And you say, what about you? And he'd say, well, I've really been struggling. And he'd go ahead and, come here. I'll show you what he did. So if he said, we're in aisle 5 here, you know? And he'd say, so how's your life going? Everything good? And you said, no, I got some issues. He'd go, come on, let's go. Right in the middle. People running their carts by you. And he's like, Lord God. And he wasn't quiet about it either. He was like, Lord God, touch this servant. Heal him. Make sure, God, that your way is done in his life. And oh, we'll give you the glory. And he just prayed out loud. And guess what? You think that doesn't affect people? It certainly does. People will know there's a God. And guess who definitely will? The person who had somebody stop and pray. We got to stop saying, I'll pray for you. Don't say you're going to pray for them. Stop right there and pray for them. Why are we afraid to talk to our daddy anywhere? It is his world. And so we need to stand up. This is what we're talking about. Stand up, stand out, stand strong, and go to the Lord in prayer. Begin with him. Get face down if we need to. Whatever it takes, we need to go to him. You will have to stand for God sometime in your life. It may be that there's a situation at work that they want you to do something that you believe is wrong. And you have to take a stance for God. It may be that your children are involved in some kind of extracurricular activity and it's interfering with the relationship and growth with God, and you may have to say, you know what, enough. You being closer to God is more important than some of the other stuff that you're doing. You may want to do whatever you may want to do, but the bottom line is you're going to have to take a stand for God. You know, I wonder if, you know, one of the problems is that we deal with Daniel is we have the end story. We have the end story, don't we? I wonder if Daniel was going, what if those lions eat me? I am a little bit old. Maybe I'm a little tough. Maybe they won't want this. Maybe they'll want them in these young guys. What I find interesting is that throughout the Bible, there's other people who had the same faith as Daniel and they ended in death. But Daniel's approach and the approach of the others of, no matter what, I will stand. I will stand no matter what. And this is number 3 we want to talk about. When you stand strong, you can always trust God with the right results. When you stand strong, you can always trust God with the right results. Daniel had no clue how the story was going to end. For all he knew, he was a snack for a lion. Daniel had no clue that for thousands of years he would be a Sunday school lesson where people had little, you know, we put this on nursery walls. You ever seen churches that have Daniel in the lion's den? The same picture that we had up there. This was a guy who was thrown in a den of lions and going to be chewed on. That makes for a great nursery, doesn't it? For him, what did he know? He knew that for 80 years of his life, God has been faithful. He knew for 80 years of his life that God was there. He also knew that if God saves me, I will praise him. If he doesn't, I will praise him. He's in control. There are so many people here that are dealing with situations. What you need to hear is God is in control. What we learn is King Darius was hurt. He was upset. He was tricked. And he loved Daniel. Daniel was a likable guy. He had no clue what was going to happen in the lion's den. But what we do know is that the lion's mouth was shut, which is an awesome story of the goodness of a great God. Darius gets up in the morning, he runs to the den, and what he says here is really powerful. He says this, "Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God whom you serve continually been able to rescue you from the lions?" How did he serve him? Continually. Daniel answers him, "O king, live forever. My God sent his angel and shut the mouths of the lions. They have not hurt me because I was found innocent in sight, nor have I ever done any wrong before you, O king." The king was overjoyed and gave the orders to lift Daniel out of the den. And they lifted him out, and there was no wound on him. Not one wound at all. What happened to the others? The king threw them in. And the angels, I guess, were tired from working all night and decided to let him have a snack. And it was the other ones who did that. Even if the mouth had not been shut by God, Daniel would still have said, "My God is faithful and trustworthy." He trusted in the Lord. You know, what I want to tell you here today is people will tear you down when God lifts you up. But we need to learn how to stand strong by kneeling and being in prayer. When we stand strong, you can always trust God with the right results. Because in Ephesians, we're reminded that it says there, printed in your bulletin, that we need to put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you've done everything else to stand, what do you need to put on? You need to put on the helmet of salvation to protect your mind and your thoughts. You need to put on the breastplate of righteousness to protect your heart. You need to have the shield of faith to extinguish all those things that the enemy wants to throw at you. You need to have your one weapon, which is the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. You need to have the belt of truth to keep your spiritual pants up. You need to have your feet in readiness with the gospel of peace. You know what that means? It means that regardless of my circumstance, I'm ready for whatever you call me to, God, and I'm at peace about it. And then when you've done all that, you stand. You stand firm. You stand strong. You stand for what God has said, and you recognize that there is a God who loves you. Amen. Let's pray. God, our Father, your word gives us strength that whatever circumstances we have, whatever situations we end up with, that Daniel is just an illustration of your goodness and how awesome you are, God. For everybody else here, and I'm going to ask that the lights are down, I'm going to ask everybody just kind of stand where you are as we continue this prayer. And you can just keep your eyes closed and just, and even if you're home, I want you to go ahead and or traveling and you're watching online, I want you to do this as well. If the Holy Spirit is speaking to you about one of these areas of life, one of these areas where you've had you feel God has raised you up, yet people are tearing you down, or you've had the strength to stand, but you need to kneel more in prayer, or if you just need to hand over the situation to God and have him be very present. If one of these areas that God is dealing with, just kind of raise your hand and say, "God, I hear that you're speaking to me in this. I hear that you want me to spend more time. You want my commitment to be continually, not just something that I do weekly or something that I do occasionally or every other week or once or twice a month, that I want this relationship to be active with you." Just raise your hand. Awesome. Awesome deal there. And so, God, you see those who are dealing with others tearing them down. God, help them get the strength that they are living for an audience of one, that they are serving you, and everything else is just extra stuff that is keeping them from you. Those who are in a battlefield of faith, something that just feels like sometimes they're even questioning your existence. Other times they're just questioning why they're even here. God, go ahead and just reach out to them. Help them just get on their knees and begin to pray and to petition the God of the universe. Just make prayer the predetermined thing that they're going to do. And for those of us who are standing and trusting in you, God, give us that faith that you will bring about the right results. And there are others who are here today. There are others who have never taken a stand. You may even say, I don't even know what's going on here. I'm going through a trial and I just don't know this, but I need to give my life to Jesus. I need to turn this around. I need to just give the give up signal and say, oh God, here I am. You've done some really bad things in your life. Guess what? Welcome to the rest of us. You've done horrible things. You say, there's no way anybody in this world loves me, so there's no way the creator of the universe that can love me. And that's just a lie from the pit of hell. You have a need to God, so what I just want you to do is just surrender to him. Just give that give up signal. Just raise your hands and surrender your life to him and just say, here I am. God, that's me. I'm that one. Surrender and just say yes to him, yes to his gift of salvation. And so, everybody praying together now, just pray this by faith, God. Forgive me. Make me new. I believe that Jesus is your son. I believe he's my Savior and my Lord. I know that he lived and he suffered and he died. But oh God, I believe, and I don't understand it all, but I believe that he rose from the dead. And I just want to give him this mess of my life, that this life is now yours. Make me new. Thank you for the newness that you're bringing into my life. I want to have the strength of Daniel. And I want to trust you in all circumstances, in my own health, in my own brokenness. I want to trust you. I'm good at putting on the makeup and making everything look good on the outside, but God, you know, in my heart of hearts, I'm just broken. If that's you, just raise your hand high and say, God, put the pieces back together of my life. I see you guys. I see you guys. Praise you. Thank you, Jesus. Lord God, thank you for making them new. In you, Christ Jesus, we have been redeemed by the power of the blood. And that gives us the strength to face the future unafraid. Always and forever. Amen. If you want to pray, I'm going to ask some of our prayer leaders and coordinators come up. I think Randy, Debbie, Donna, please come. And please just come to them and pray with them. We talked about prayer today, and that's what it's about. It's about coming together at the throne room of God. The God of the universe comes right now, and he wants to love on you. You are his child, and he wants to wrap his arms around you. You hear that today. Come to the Lord.
of my shame and regret. When I hear you whisper, child, lift up your head. I remember, oh God, you're not done with me yet. And I am redeemed. And you set me free. So I'll shake off these heavy chains, wipe away every stain. Now I'm not who I used to be. And I am redeemed. You set me free. So I'll shake off these heavy chains, wipe away every stain. Now I'm not who I used to be. Because I don't have to. The old man inside of me, his day is long getting gone. Because I've got a new name, a new life, I'm not the same. And I hope that will carry me home. And I am redeemed. You set me free. So I'll shake off heavy chains, wipe away every stain. Now I'm not who I used to be, and I am redeemed. You set me free. So I'll shake off these heavy chains, wipe away every stain. I'm not who I used to be. Oh God, I'm not who I used to be. Jesus, I'm not who I used to be, and I am redeemed. Thank God, redeemed.
Go ahead. Yeah, in praying in that moment, I just got visions of lions. Some people here have lions of depression, a lot of it. And it's a wave, and you've been trying to do like they say with lions, get really big. You know, you get really big, and you're trying to take it on like that, and you're getting chewed on. And God says, don't leave this room today without talking to me. There's other people who have brokenness in your relationships, and you're trying to deal with it the same way. It's not working. He says, get in front of me. There are people who have a future that has a lot of question marks to it right now. He says, stop trying to figure it out and recognize the one who holds your hand is the one who holds the future. Get right with it now. These lions, I can shut their mouths and make them your pillow pets if you want me to. But you got to step out and talk to me. You got to get in a posture that you want to be redeemed by me. You got to get in a place where you're coming to me, not later in the week, not later in the month, not later in the year when everything falls apart. You've got a child that you don't know how to deal with. You love them, they love you, but there's something going on that you're losing part of them and you're afraid you're going to lose your child. But guess what? He says, they're my child. You got to give them back to me so they can be strong. So I'm going to ask them to do this course again. And if there's people here who want to take you into the throne room of God, if you want to do that and you want to get rid of those lions, get your hips up here and start getting before the Lord. Don't take it out there where there's more lions and there's more den. Come before the Lord or pray with somebody near you so that Jesus can make a difference in your life. Amen. Will you do it again?
Amen. You know, I'm going to do another song, though. I'm going to do this song because I was thinking about this song during Jack's sermon. And this song called Always, you know, it's a battle cry. You know, we are at war. And those lions are real. They're around us, you know, and that lion right now is addiction. Amen? And God needs warriors out there. So, that's what we got to be. My foes are many. They rise against me, but I will hold my ground. I will not fear the war. I will not fear the storm. My help is on the way. What's his name? My help is on the way. And oh my God, he will not delay. My refuge and strength always. chaos abounding, my soul will rest in you. Do. I will not fear the war. I will not fear the storm. My help is on the way. Can you believe it? My help is on the way. I lift my eyes up, my help comes from the Lord. Sing it out. I lift my eyes up, my help comes from the Lord. I lift my eyes up, my help comes from the Lord. Always, I will not fear. His promise is true. My God will come through. Always, and oh my God, He will not delay. My refuge is great. Always, I will not fear. His promise is true. My God will come through, always, always. Let's go, church. And
I want you to remember that we're going to show in a couple minutes. We're going to let people get out, and then get anybody who wants to watch can watch the trailer. It's about it's 2:54, I think. If you come back tonight, what time?
6:30
for anonymous people. Also, next week, a clue for next week, we have this one right here, Stand Firm. We're going to talk about many of these guys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. We're going to get a little fiery in here, a fiery furnace next week. Ultimately, don't leave here worried about those lions, because you have a God who is greater than all that. So have an awesome week in Jesus. See somebody, knuckle punch them, high five, hug them. Don't punch them in the face or anything like that and miss. But have an awesome week in Jesus. Amen.